This is a full service church here. We give you a chance to work out. I have one of these. I know we ran out. Does anyone need one? I don't. I was just going to show everyone. There's one left. Anyone want it? Right here. We will have some more. I apologize. We'll print some more for next week. We're going to be working our way through that for the next, this week and the 3 weeks after that. So we're calling this series Share the Gospel. And when I say that, when I say that phrase, share the gospel, it probably evokes something in people. It probably evokes some kind of thought or emotion, perhaps. For some people, it's exciting. It's just jazzes them to think I get to go out and talk to people and tell them about the Lord. It's exciting. For some people, it's fearful, perhaps. It's like, oh, I don't want to. That sounds scary and confrontational, perhaps. Or for some people, it might be confusing. It's like, well, I'm not even sure I know what that means. For some people, it might be kind of ambivalence. That's for some people to do, but not me. I really don't think about it too much. But all of us, when I say share the gospel, we think of something. And it's probably different for all of us. I remember one time there was a guy, and this is many, many years ago, I was up in Bemidji, Minnesota, doing a conference, and as part of it, we were going to go out into town and share the gospel, talk to people about the Lord, and we paired up, and the way we were going to do it was we would go to businesses, and we would offer to clean their bathrooms, and then use that as a way to get into talking about the gospel. And so I was paired up with a guy named Tyler Anderson. I don't know if anyone here knows Tyler. And so Tyler and I went out, and Tyler was so into and so about talking to people. He just couldn't wait to get into the door and to talk to people about the gospel. And I was so about cleaning the bathroom. All I wanted to we made a good team. But sharing the gospel stirs something in us, one way or another. Or perhaps it's just like, I don't ever think about that, and I don't know that I need to think about it. Well, I think we do. Because I think that sharing the gospel, this idea of sharing the gospel, is an integral part of God's plan for Christians. It's an integral part of the life of God's people. In Matthew 28, when Jesus was leaving the earth after he had risen from the dead and he had done everything he was going to do and he had paid the penalty for our sins and finished his work, he said to the people that he was leaving behind this in Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What Jesus said to us, to his people, as he left the earth is, look, I am king. All authority has been given to me, but now I want you to do something. I have a role for you. I have a job for you. Go make disciples. Go and tell people about me. Tell them everything you've seen. Tell them everything I've told you. Tell them what I did. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them about me. See, God has a plan for the world. God's plan for the world was Christ coming, dying on the cross to pay the penalty for sins, so that people could receive him. And his plan is that people would hear that's the gospel, and they would respond to it. That's God's plan for the world. That's what Jesus said. And you and I, God's people, play a large role in that plan. Jesus' way of making that happen was he said to us, now you go. You go and tell people about me. So sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus, is an integral part of God's plan for the world, and you and I play a large role in that plan. We have a part to play in that. And so this thing about sharing the gospel needs to be or should be an integral part of the life of Christians. And if we understand that role clearly, I think it might help us to fill it. So that's what the point of this series is, to help us to understand this role that God has given us in sharing the gospel. This role that you and I as Christians have in God's plan to reach the world. Now, very often, God will give us a physical picture to help us understand a spiritual reality. And he does that here. In this idea of the role that you and I have in sharing the gospel, God gives us a physical picture that will help us to understand that. And in your booklet, it's on the second page there. We're going to walk through those notes there if you want to follow along. And I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a few verses here, because here we see the picture that God gives us to help us understand our spiritual role in reaching the world, in sharing the gospel. I'm going to start reading here with verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what it says: "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." There's a picture there that helps you and I to understand our role in sharing the gospel. And the picture is one of an ambassador. God says that we are ambassadors. Well, we know what an ambassador is, right? An ambassador is a citizen of a country who will go to a foreign country, will almost always live there in that foreign country, spend lots of time there, and will represent the government back home to the people in that foreign country. For example, the United States has all kinds of ambassadors. We send ambassadors to countries all over the world. So the United States has, say, an ambassador to England. And it's an American citizen, someone who's an American, but they will take a job and they will move there to England. They'll take up residence there. They'll spend most, if not all, of their time there. And their role there in England, the ambassador's role, is to represent the United States government to the people of England. So it's a citizen, goes to a foreign country, speaks for the government. That's what an ambassador is. Well, God tells us that we are ambassadors. And the spiritual connection there is this. You and I, as Christians, if you're a Christian, you are now a citizen of God's kingdom. In Philippians 3:20, that's what it says. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." See, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, God says now we are a different citizen. Our citizenship changed. We are now subjects of God the King. We have become citizens of heaven, of a different place. That's true of us as Christians. But it's also true that as Christians, we are living in a foreign land. Peter said this. In 1 Peter 2, he says, we're aliens and strangers. We live here in this world now. You and I do. All of us do. We live here, but this is not home. This is not where we're from anymore. This is not our country. You and I, if you've accepted Christ, you are not an American first. You are not. You're a Christian. Because eternally, we have become citizens of God's kingdom. And so we are citizens of a different place, but we're living here. And this place where we are right now is not our home. This is a foreign land. We're foreigners here where we're living. And when a person gets saved, it would be nice, perhaps, if we just instantly got to go to where we're citizens, if we instantly got to go to heaven. That would be nice. We just went home. I got my passport. I'm now a citizen of heaven, and I'm getting on the plane, and I'm going. But that's not how it works for the vast majority of us. It certainly hasn't worked for any of us here, because we're still here. We are still here, and there's a reason for it, because God says, okay, while you're there, you're still a citizen of heaven, but you're living in a foreign land because I have a role for you, and that role is you are my ambassadors. In other words, I want you, my people, to deliver a message to the people there where you live, like an ambassador would. While you're there in that foreign land, I want you to deliver a message for me. Our king has a message for the people here that he wants us to deliver. And it's an important message. Look at the words in 2 Corinthians God uses. He says, I'm making an appeal. It's an emotional thing. We implore you. It's urgent. This is an urgent, important message that our king wants us to deliver to the people around us in this world. As his ambassadors, he has a message for us to deliver. What's the message? Well, five times in 2 Corinthians 5, he uses the word reconcile. The message is be reconciled to God. Five times in that passage, when he's talking about us being ambassadors, that's the term he uses. Be reconciled to God. What does reconcile mean? Well, that's a relational term. It means to restore a broken relationship. If we're being reconciled to another person, what it means is that that relationship we had with that person has been broken, has been damaged, and it needs to be healed. It needs to be restored. That's what reconcile means. And so the message that God has, that God wants to deliver, that God wants you and I to deliver to the people around us is that your relationship with God is broken, but it can be restored. Be reconciled to God. You see, God's desire was that all would be part of his kingdom. God desires the death of no one, but he wants everyone to be saved. God's desire is that everybody that we see would be part of his kingdom. But it's not true. In Philippians 3 there, just before the verse that I read about our citizenship being in heaven, it says this in verse 18. It says, for as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. The truth is that many of the people in this world that you and I live in as foreigners are here because they're enemies of God. They are not, that their relationship with God is broken, it's severed. And so God's message is, be reconciled. God's message is, you can have a relationship with God that you don't have now. Be reconciled to God. Have your relationship be restored. Now in 2 Corinthians, we see the cause of why that relationship is broken. And it's sin. It says there in 2 Corinthians 5 that the ministry of reconciliation through Christ is that God is not counting men's sins against them. In other words, it's our sins that have broken our relationship with God. You see, way back in the book of Genesis, we finished Genesis here, was it a month ago? Finally, we finished Genesis. But if you remember all the way back to the beginning, when God created the world, and he created humans. He made Adam and Eve, and he put them there in the Garden of Eden, and he walked with them. His relationship with them was not broken. They saw him face to face. They interacted with him. There was no break. There was nothing in their relationship that needed to be restored, and that was God's intention all along was that humans, all of us, would have that kind of a relationship with him, that we would live with him. We would live in his world, and he would be our king. He would be our father. There would be no break in the relationship at all. That's what God's intention was. But Adam and Eve were given a choice to respond to that, to accept that, or to reject that. And they rejected it. They said, no, we will be our own king. We will set up the rules. That's what sin is. And sin then came to all of us. In Romans 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that was Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. When our forefather Adam sinned, it stained us and it inclined us to sin. And all of us now have sinned, every single one of us. When God has said to us, I will be your king, I will be your father, we have turned our back. We have dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed God. And that sin separates us from God. In Isaiah 59, it says, your sins have separated you from God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you. See, we don't see God now. When Adam and Eve saw God face to face, when they walked with him, and when everything was as it should be, that's not our life, is it? We don't see that because we have sinned, and we have been torn apart from God. Our relationship with God was broken because of sin. To use the ambassador analogy again, think of it this way. Everybody in the world was created to be a citizen in heaven. Every single person that has ever been born was created to be a citizen in God's kingdom, a son and a daughter of God. And yet every single person rebelled against the king. They rebelled. They said, no, we don't want you to rule over us. We will be our own king. We will provide for ourselves. We will set up the rules. We rebelled against the king, all of us. That's what sin is. And that sin, that rebellion, made us traitors, and so we were cast out. We were cast out of the kingdom. We were condemned as traitors, condemned as treasonous sinners, and cast out of the kingdom. And we were sent to a place far from God to await destruction, because the king will come and will punish all of those who have rebelled against him. God tells us that in the book of Revelation. That we're cast out from God's presence and we await destruction because of our sins, because we have rebelled. It is what we have earned. It is what we have earned as traitors, as lawbreakers to our king. That's why the relationship with God needs to be reconciled. That's what broke it. But here in 2 Corinthians, we also see not just the cause of what broke our relationship with God, but the remedy to it. The remedy is Christ. In verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The wages of sin is death. What we have earned because of our sin is death. But God so loved the world. When we were cast out of God's presence because we were traitors, because of our sin, and we were cast out of heaven, and we were cast away from God's presence, God so loved us anyhow. His heart was strong for his people, for the people he created. God so loved the world, you and I, that he sent his only son, Jesus. Jesus came, and Jesus was God himself. God came, the creator, the king himself, came in the form of a man, and he lived here among us in this place, in this world of exile that we live in. He came here, and he lived with us, and he sacrificed his life to pay the penalty for sins. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God showed us, God gave us a remedy. He says, be reconciled to me, and then he gives us the way that it happens. Believe in my son. I've paid the penalty. I've paid the price, he says, to set you free if you will accept it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us. It says that God so loved the world that he sent his son. Well, how does he demonstrate that love? God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came. God came. Took on a body. A perfect, sinless life. Then he took that life of his own volition, of his own accord, and offered it as a sacrifice to pay the penalty that I had coming, that you had coming. God demonstrates his love for us. He sent Jesus, and Jesus came willingly. God came, and then he died to pay the penalty for our sins. And if we accept that, it says, we do not perish, but we have everlasting life. And that's explained in 1 Peter 3:18. I love this verse. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So if we put all of that together, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. That Christ died for the sins of the world. That we are separated from God because of our sins. But Jesus came and sacrificed his life as a payment for sins. And those who accept that payment can be forgiven. And so the message of reconciliation, this message that we as ambassadors, God says, I want you to share, this thing called sharing the gospel is just that. It's delivering this message. Christ died for your sins. If you accept that payment, you can be reconciled to God. Your sins can be forgiven, and you can come home to what you were created to be. That's the message of reconciliation. That's the gospel. That is the message that God says, I'm appealing to you, world. I'm imploring you. Be reconciled. Understand what Jesus did. Believe it and accept it so that you can be forgiven. That's the gospel. That's the message that we as ambassadors are told to deliver to the people in this world who are not reconciled to God. That's our role here. That is a huge part of our role. You might say, I don't think it's out of line to say it is one of the main things, it's one of the main reasons perhaps that God leaves us here. I think God longs to be with us in heaven. As much as we long to be there, I think God longs for it more. And yet he leaves us here. Why? Well, there are people who need to hear this message. He longs for them as well. And his plan for them is for you and I to share that message. We are his ambassadors. He is making his appeal through us. That is our role. As Christians, it's an integral part of what our life here is about. If you have accepted Christ, if you are one of those who has recognized your sin, who has believed who Jesus said he was, God in the flesh, who has accepted the payment that he made on your behalf, if that's you, you have become a citizen of God's kingdom. You have been forgiven. You have become heirs of Christ. And yet you're still here because God says, now you are my ambassador and I want to make an appeal to other people. The same appeal that you heard and accepted, I want other people to hear it and accept it, and I want you to deliver that message. That's a huge part, I believe, of God's plan for us. And we need to take that role seriously. You and I need to take that role seriously. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, Paul took that role seriously, the guy who wrote much of the New Testament. He heard that message. He heard the message that Christ died for his sins, and he believed it, and he accepted it. And then he lived the rest of his life as Christ's ambassador, sharing that message. In Colossians 1, at the end of that chapter, he says, "We proclaim him," that's Jesus, "we proclaim Jesus, admonishing and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." Paul recognized that a big part of his life is, I have been saved through Christ. And now God wants me to share that message with people who have not been saved so that they can be saved. I'm proclaiming him. I'm saying what is true of me. I'm telling people what happened to me. I'm telling people who Jesus is so that they can accept him. And I labor at that, he says. I struggle with it. I work at it. It's a big part of what I do. We need to take this role as God's ambassadors seriously. And there's a couple of ways I think God helps us to take it seriously, or a couple of motivations perhaps that God gives us when we think about this idea of sharing the gospel. Again, because for some of us, it excites us. For some of us, it makes us afraid. For some of us, it makes us confused. But God does give us motivation, I think, in a couple of different ways. One is this, that we are and can be and should be motivated by duty. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we think, well, if I'm doing it because it's duty, that's bad. No, that's not bad at all. Duty is a wonderful thing. Paul said that. He said, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. You and I have been given a role. What if an ambassador went to a country and said, yeah, I'm supposed to tell him this, but whatever. No, if you've been given a role, we have a duty to fill that role. We see it here in 2 Corinthians 5, just a little before what we read. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. It says, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men." Think about that. Paul says, I'm trying to persuade men. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm delivering this message. Why? Well, because I fear the Lord. In other words, I've been told to do this. My king gave me a commission. My king gave me a role, and I will fill it. That's duty. That's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. It is noble to fill the duty that you and I have, to fill the role that God has given us. And all of us have that role. In 2 Timothy, I think of this verse because I perhaps relate to Timothy here, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, here's Paul again. He's speaking to Timothy. Timothy was a younger man who was following in Paul's footsteps, who was doing the things that Paul did, who was serving alongside of Paul. And this is what Paul says to Timothy here, 2 Timothy 4, 5, "But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." There's a lot in there, but if you read through the New Testament, you see that Timothy was a guy who probably wasn't like Paul. Paul seemed to be one of those guys that was just always out front talking. You know, guys like that, they walk into a room and pretty quick everyone's listening to them. There are people that are like that. Paul seemed to be like that. If you read about Timothy, you get the idea he wasn't that way at all. Paul told Timothy a lot, "Don't be afraid." Paul would write letters to churches where Timothy was going and says, "Don't make Timothy afraid." Timothy probably wasn't the guy like Paul that walked into a room and just commanded the room. He's probably pretty quiet, probably an introvert. I can relate to Timothy. I'm much more like Timothy. And yet, what did Paul tell Timothy here? Okay, Timothy, discharge all the duties of your ministry. There were things Timothy was going to do. There were gifts that Timothy had. Timothy's gifts were different than Paul's, and so there were things that Timothy was doing that were different than Paul's. Endure hardship. You're going to get pushed back. Do the things God has set in front of you, but one of them is what? Do the work of an evangelist, even this introverted guy who probably wasn't a natural speaker, perhaps, who wasn't the guy that commanded the room. Even you, Timothy, though you have different gifts than me, though you're not like me, says Paul, you also do the work of an evangelist. You see, men and women, as Christians, we have different gifts, we have different roles, and yet all of us, our role includes doing the work of an evangelist, being an ambassador, sharing the gospel, delivering the message. We implore you, be reconciled to God. You and I are surrounded by people who are separated from God because of their rebellion, who have been cast out of God's kingdom, who are awaiting destruction, and God is appealing to them, and he is imploring them, be reconciled to God. And you and I, as Christians, are the one through whom God delivers that message. We are his ambassadors. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We must do the work of an evangelist. It is ours to do. And to be motivated by that duty is a good and noble and powerful thing. To be motivated also, though, by love is a good and noble and powerful thing. And we're motivated by love as well. Again, in 2 Corinthians, this is such a powerful passage, 2 Corinthians 5. As we're reading all of this about being ambassadors, again, just a little bit before what we read in verse 14, it says this: for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. Christ's love compels us. To be compelled means to be moved forward. Christ's love pushes us in this direction. And I think what that means is this: when I remember what Christ has done for me, it makes me want to share it with others. The best thing that has ever happened to me in my life, this is without, I say this unequivocally, I've been desperately in love with my wife for 37 years. I've raised 3 kids. I have 5 grandkids. I've seen so much of the world. The best thing that has ever happened to me, and it's not even close, is Christ forgave my sins. I have been born again. I no longer am separated from my Maker. I have eternity in heaven in front of me. Nothing, nothing that will ever happen to me in my life comes close to that. That is what defines every other thing in my life. Christ loved me in a way that I can't understand. That compels me, because that same love is showed to every person I see. Everyone. That compels me. Christ's love can and should compel us. And our love for the people around us can compel us. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, this is the passage that we read at weddings. And rightfully so. It's the great love chapter. And we think about this with husbands and wives, and we read it at weddings, and it should be. But this is not really at its core a wedding passage. This is a passage speaking to you and I as God's people, as we live in this world. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is a desire for the best for the people around us and a willingness to work to make it happen. Well, the best thing that can happen to the people around me is the same as the best thing that ever happened to me, that they accept Christ. And my love for them, no matter what else I do in life, if I really love the people around me, I will tell them the best thing that they could ever hear. And my love for them compels me. So we can be motivated. We must take this role seriously. And God gives us motivations. It's our duty. And it's stirred by our love, the love we feel from Christ and the love that flows out of us for the people around us. Now, how do we do this? How do we fill this role as an ambassador? What does that look like for us to share the gospel? What does it look like for us to deliver this message that God has given us to deliver? Well, it looks like a few things. One of the things God tells us is that here, as we live as foreigners in this world, we need to live a godly life. We need to live a life that honors our King. In 1 Peter 2:12, it says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." How we act, how we live our life, builds a platform for us with other people. When they see, I mean, if people see our lives and think, man, why would I pay any attention to that guy? He's mean to his family, he cheats, he steals. Why would I pay any attention to him at all? And yet, if we live a life according to God's standards, he says that it's like we're stars in the universe. In Philippians, he says that, hey, if we live as God wants us to live, we're like stars in the universe. And when you see stars, you ever been out at night on a dark, dark, cold night? It's one of the things I love about winter. You go out in the cold, cold air, and you look up and the stars are just blazing in the sky. And when you see them, you want to look at them. And you gaze at them. God says your life can be that way. Live such good lives among the people who don't know God that they see it. And they think there's something there. There's something there. They may even accuse you of doing wrong, but they're going to step back and think there's something there. It builds a platform. It gives us a platform, how we live our life. And so we need to live good lives here in this foreign land to honor our King. As part of that, but a little different, is we can serve the people around us. It's interesting to me in Acts chapter 10, when Peter, who was one of those that Jesus gave that great commission to, go and make disciples, Peter was doing that. He was obeying. He was being an ambassador. And he was going out into the world and talking to people who had never met Jesus. Much like the people that you and I run into. None of them have met Jesus. And Peter is talking to these people and he's saying, you know Jesus. And he says this in Acts chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. It's just so interesting to me that the first thing Jesus did was he served people. And when Peter was telling people about Jesus, he pointed to that. He healed people. He cared for people. He served them. And so often that's what Jesus would do. When he would come to a place, he would heal. He would serve. He would feed. You see, when we serve people, it wins an audience. They may see our life and, okay, that builds a platform. But when we serve them, it endears us to them and them to us, and we win an audience. Now they're not only willing to listen, they probably want to listen, perhaps. So we build a platform by living a godly life here in this world as ambassadors. We win an audience by serving the people in this world. But finally, if we are going to be God's ambassadors, we must speak. We must deliver the message. Augustine was said to have famously said, "Preach the gospel, and if you must, use words." While I don't know if Augustine really said that, and while I understand the sentiment, it's completely wrong. It is completely wrong. If we are going to be God's ambassadors, we must speak. Romans 10. Verses 14 and 15. It says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. People need to hear the message. Tell the world. Speak the message. Share the gospel. An ambassador implores, he delivers a message. How can people accept Christ if they haven't heard? How can they hear unless someone tells them? How can someone tell them unless they are sent? Well, we are sent. That's us. We are the ones that are sent. And we must speak. We must deliver the message. It is our role as ambassadors. It is an integral part of your life as a Christian to speak the gospel to people who don't know it. That is what God has for you and I, all of us, regardless of our gifting, regardless of our situations in life. We are called to do the work of an evangelist. Christ's love compels us. Our role is an ambassador. We have, you and I have, the ministry of reconciliation. God says, I want to implore the people around you to be reconciled to me. You go and speak to them. Christian, you and I, that is our role. We must speak. Now, there are many, many, many ways to do that. There are many ways for you to speak that message. It can happen. I shared the gospel today. I said the message. And there may be some here today who have never heard it, and I implore you on Christ's behalf, think about what I said. Because God is speaking to you. It's probably not an accident. If you don't know Christ, it is probably not an accident that you are here today, because God wants to speak to you. He has a message to you. And I had a position, and I said it, and I shared it. And that's a way we can share the gospel. But that's not the only way. The gospel can be shared in hundreds of different ways. It can be shared with your neighbor at your kitchen table. It can be shared in the backyard across the fence, perhaps. It can be shared with someone that you know, that you get together with over coffee and say, I want to tell you something that's happened to me. It can be shared in dozens and hundreds and scores of different ways. There's not one way for it to happen. And yet all of us are asked to do it. It can happen by going out and just finding a person and sharing. Let me tell you a story. Just not too long ago, Cole organized a time when people went out on campus to share the gospel. And so a half a dozen, maybe eight people gathered on a Saturday morning and paired up and just went out. Find people and get into a conversation and share the gospel with them. And people were doing it. And there are some people, again, that just grew. John just loves that kind of thing. And so if you want to go sharing with John, go with him. Because that's not my strength. And yet, people were doing it. They were going out and finding people and just getting into conversations. Well, I happened to be walking down the stairs there at the university, and I was praying, God, give me one person to talk to. Just give me one person to talk to. And so I was walking down the stairs, and this older gentleman was walking down next to me, and he and I got into a conversation. And I think there's 186 stairs there, something like that. It took us a while to get down. By the time we got to the bottom, I had found out he's a retired professor of philosophy at the university. He wrote a book called The History of Philosophy. I've been getting together with him at coffee grounds, talking about his book, and I'm talking to him about the Lord. And I'm sharing the gospel with him. That's the way it works for me. How does it work for you? I don't know. It can look like 100,000 different things. But you have that role. To share the ministry, to share the message of reconciliation. Now, this series, what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is I want to give you a tool that might help you to speak the gospel. I want to give you a tool that might help you when it gets to the point where you're actually going to share the gospel and tell them the good news. And this is it. It's in the book there on the very first page. I've gone through this tool scores of times, perhaps 100, maybe more, I don't know. Just many, 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 many times I have gone through this with people to help explain the gospel. We're going to walk through this bit by bit for the next 3 weeks. It's a tool that's designed to help you, and it's not the only tool. This is not the only tool, and maybe you will never use this exact tool. But what this will do, I think, if you study it with me, if you work through it with me for the next 3 weeks, it will do a couple of very powerful things. One, it will help you to understand the gospel well, so that no matter what tool you end up using, you'll be able to understand it well, and it'll help you to share the good news because you'll know it. It's hard to explain something that you don't understand, isn't it? This will help you to understand the gospel so that no matter what tool you use, no matter how you do it, you'll know what you're sharing. You can share the gospel by telling your own story. You can share the gospel out there. There are the Do You Know For Certain little booklets, which is basically this in a very truncated form. There's the colors. Some of you have seen perhaps the colors, where different colors stand for different aspects of the gospel. There are a lot of ways to do it, but no matter what tool you use, you have to understand the basic message. This will help you to understand the basic message of the gospel so that you will be prepared as an ambassador when the time comes to speak. You'll know the message that your king is asking you to deliver. So I would ask you to work through this with me for the next 3 weeks. I'm also going to, in the summer, I'm going to do this. We're going to look at it much more in depth. And I'll have a sign-up sheet as we move a little closer. If you would like to go through this more in depth with me over the summer, we'll spend 6 or 7 weeks going through this much more in depth. But for the next 3 weeks, we're going to walk through this. And it'll help you to understand. But here's another thing that it will do. And I want to end with this. If you understand the gospel, if you work through this and are able to clearly say, this is what the gospel means, this is what the gospel is, this is the good news, I understand the problem, I understand sin, I understand God's love and the message of reconciliation. I understand it. I understand what Jesus did and who he was. I understand what it looks like for a person to respond to that. If you understand it, not only will it help you to explain it to people, but it will do something to you. In the book of Philemon, just a very small book toward the end of the New Testament, it's only one chapter, and in verse 6, it says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. If you want to know who you are as God's citizen, know this. You want to know who you are as God's son or daughter, know this. If you understand the gospel in a way that you can share it, it will help you to have a full understanding of every good thing that you have in Christ. This is part of our life, Christian. This is a big part of our life. The message of reconciliation has been entrusted to us. We have been sent here in this foreign land to live here until we go home as God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, and he implores the people around you, be reconciled to God. Let's learn how to do that. And let's do it. Let's fill that role. Father, thank you that you give us that role. God, you are good. Thank you that this mission has been entrusted to us. Thank you that you saved us, each one of us, if we have accepted you. God, help us to fill this role in the way that you'd have us fill it, each one of us. Help us to live lives in a way that honors you and builds a platform. Help us to love and serve the people around us in a way that wins an audience. And then help us to speak. Help us to have those beautiful feet that are sent to speak to people who don't know you, that they can be reconciled to you. God, help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Don't forget, it's gym time now. Please help move the chairs.